This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Dr. Thomas Szasz was a psychiatrist and an academic, a fellow of the American Psychiatric Association, and a member of the American Psychoanalytic Association. He was born in Hungary in 1929 and came to the United States at the age of 9. He went on to train as a psychiatrist, and he served as a professor of psychiatry at the Upstate Medical University from 1956 until he retired in 1990. He died in 2012, but throughout his career, he was known as a social critic of the moral and scientific foundations of psychiatry, and those are outlined in his widely read books, The Myth of Mental Illness and The Manufacture of Madness. We'll hear with more on all of this are Dr. Robert Daly and Dr. Chetan Haldapour, both emeritus professors of psychiatry at Upstate Medical University. Welcome to you both, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Daly, let me start with you. You both knew Dr. Szasz. What sort of a man was he?
Well, he was very gracious, a gentleman of a European style, could be very charming. He was a teacher of mine and a clinical teacher as well as a seminar teacher. He was a superb clinical psychiatrist, I felt was a great help to me in my formation as a psychiatrist. He, on the public platform, he could be quite provocative and at times angry and formidable. And in the public sphere, he was a professional controversialist, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that strikes me as I began to research some of his work. Dr. Haldapour, he was so controversial. He took a really radical stance in this book, The Myth of Mental Illness, a radical stance about the whole existence of mental illness. Help us understand what he was saying.
Well, it is true that his book was highly controversial when it was first published. As you know, the book got translated into many European languages and also Japanese, if I remember right, and Chinese. In the book, he argued that if mental illness does not have, we do not have any biological basis. So if there's no biological basis for any disorder, it shouldn't be considered as a disease. That was the kernel of his argument. I mean, we can elaborate that in many different ways.
So let me get this straight. Mm-hmm. So when you say there's no biological foundation for it, is it that there were no objective methods for detecting the presence or absence of mental illness the way perhaps we would, with a brain scan, find something like Alzheimer's or something of that nature?
Precisely. Many of the so-called mental diseases have not established any etiology in the brain. And if we were to, then he would argue that they would be considered as neurologic problems and not psychiatric problems.
So what did he think of these kinds of behaviors that were sometimes shocking, sometimes disturbing? Dr. Daly, the conduct that we see in some severe forms of what we call mental illness, like schizophrenia, how did he explain it?
Well, I think it's important to distinguish between knowing that someone is mentally ill or crazy and knowing why. And Dr. Haldapour was mentioning a biological basis. Well, that has to be a biological basis of something to even start the conversation. So his view was, and I think you used an interesting term, conduct. When we use that term, we usually think of someone authorizing an action. And Dr. Szasz thought that a great many of the symptoms and activities of people who were judged to be mentally ill, they were in fact conducting themselves, but in ways that we didn't approve of, and that's why we locked them up or forced them into treatment or what we called treatment or something of that sort.
So a corollary to that was that the psychiatry and the maybe the mechanism, the state mechanism of psychiatry, in some ways was attempting to control people.
Exactly. He thought it was psychiatry was a system of social control, largely under the aegis of the state.
And he, actually, he used the term the therapeutic state.
Yes, that was one, the title of one of his books.
So there was really this idea that we are, that the state and science, under the guise of psychiatry, I think he even talked about that psychiatry was a pseudoscience in this sense. It wasn't true science because of the fact that there was no proven biological basis for some of these disease
states.
Yes,
that's what he argued, yes, correct.
So where did some of these ideas come from? I mean, he was somewhat libertarian, it sounds to me, and some other principles that informed these ideas. It seemed to me that he felt that people had self-ownership was a major concept here. Tell us about that, Dr. Haldapour.
Well, he truly was a libertarian in the strict sense of the term. He believed that every human being had a right, but with rights come responsibilities. So whatever the acts may be, the person had a right to do whatever he or she wants to, but they had to be held responsible for that. And that's the, again, one of the kernels of his philosophy, that not only people were free to do what they wanted to, but they should be held responsible for it.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with psychiatrists Dr. Chetan Haldapour and Dr. Robert Daly. And we're talking about the legacy and the work of psychiatrist Dr. Thomas Szasz. So some of this whole concept, Dr. Haldapour, that you mentioned, led him to some very controversial positions, specifically on something like suicide, which obviously the state has suggested, or our common culture is, that we want to prevent suicide whenever possible. He argued differently, right, Dr. Daly?
That's correct. He thought that suicide was a liberty interest that everybody had. It was their life, and their life to dispose of as they saw fit. And if that included suicide, that was their prerogative under certain conditions. On the other hand, I was at a meeting one time when someone asked him what he would do if he was in his office and the patient wanted to jump outside and commit suicide.
Jump out of a window.
Jump out of a window. And he said, I would call security.
Okay, that's kind
My office is not a suicide center. So while he was argued that suicide was a liberty interest, that didn't mean that you could commit it in just any setting at all, particularly his office.
That's interesting. That's kind of a little dicey there. Would you agree?
Yeah.
So there were some other things, other principal points that grew out of this idea. For example, wasn't he opposed to involuntary hospitalization, which was a huge, huge factor that was going on at the time?
Correct. He believed that the treatment ought to be entirely voluntary. Surgeons don't go in and operate without the consent of patients. Internists don't do that. Why do psychiatrists involuntarily treat patients? Again, it gets to the point we were making earlier about agency, as Dr. Daly was talking about, and freedom to choose or not to choose any form of treatment. He wasn't opposed to, as I understood him, opposed to treatment per se, but he was opposed to involuntary treatment.
So that a hospital would become a prison, so to speak.
Exactly. And he saw those who treated involuntarily, he perceived them, he saw them as agencies of the state rather than of the person. And that's the difference here. And that's why he argued against involuntary treatment. At the same time, he was opposed to what we refer to as insanity defense for the same reason.
Explain that further.
You couldn't argue that somebody perpetrated an act because he or she was schizophrenic. That was not an excuse, that the person ought to be held responsible for his or her actions.
I'm curious, do you know if he, this is just came into my head, would he then be in support of something like the death penalty, or do you not know?
I'm not sure whether he wrote anything about the death penalty.
I don't recall.
But just in terms of the idea of agency and responsibility for one's mm-hmm. actions.
Well, he was a big supporter of, in many ways, of the law.
Mm-hmm.
So that the idea that you could, that anything goes was not an idea that he supported. It was that you were responsible for what you did, but that you needed to act within the confines of the law and in the exercise of your prerogatives, not engage in activities that harm other people. He was very explicit about that.
And yet he was opposed to this concept of the war on drugs, that he felt that we should have a drug-free environment, that people, once again, with this notion that you have, you taking responsibility for your own actions, you should be able to
correct. He thought
take that, heroin.
He thought that all physicians should be in, so to speak, an advisory role with regard to the patient, that the power of the prescription pad was a form of infantilizing the patient, so to speak. And, you know, well, we can buy guns, we can buy chainsaws. He thought that we ought to have the same kinds of prerogatives with regard to all drugs.
So if you were to look at his legacy at this point in time, what would you say? I mean, what would your overriding point be at this point? How did he impact the field of psychiatry, the practice of psychiatry, mental health or illness for that matter?
I would say that, interestingly enough, his impact on practice, his on immediate practice, was probably greatest in Syracuse, New York. And I would say more generally that his influence, I would say he influenced from a distance psychiatric practice, not always in the direction that he sought, but he influenced in terms of reintroducing into psychiatry the idea of the person as an agent, as somebody who did things and had a right to do things, and as Dr. Haldeport says, was responsible.
How about you, in the little bit of time we have left, what would you say his legacy was?
Well, I think I compared the laws concerning involuntary treatment in most states, and most of us would suggest or believe that it was Dr. Zaza's influence that some of the laws have been tightened. It's no longer possible just to pick up somebody and admit him or her to a mental hospital.
Against their will.
Against their will. And I believe that he did substantially influence some of the laws.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
And suicide, he's had no effect on that, really.
Not, I don't believe so, yeah.
Because I think our culture generally mm-hmm. prizes mm-hmm. life to that degree.
Mm-hmm.
He was a fascinating character and clearly, you know, very, very large ideas. And I want to thank you both for coming in and sharing some of your perspective on him, both personally and from a professional standpoint. Thanks so
much. Thank you for having us. Yeah.
My guests have been Dr. Chetan Haldeport and Dr. Robert Daly. They're both emeritus psychiatrists at Upstate Medical University. Once again, thanks so much. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.